can give you a new beginning. How many knows that? Can take something dead and make it come to life. That's what he did with me. That's what he did with you. Thank God. The hand of God can repair the irreparable. What you can't fix, God can fix for you. Amen. Too many times we look for man to fix what only God can fix. Did you know that God can do more with you in 20 seconds than everybody else can do with you in 20 years? When the Holy Spirit of God gets a hold of you, he can change you from the inside out. He can heal your broken heart. He can heal your sick body. He can heal what is broken inside of you because he's alive. He's not a dead God in the grave. He's a God that is alive. And because he's alive, he can breathe life into us. And only through that process of being born again can we find new life in him. Awake, he said, and you shall live. Anybody this morning, you got something for Christmas and it's already broken? Raise your hand. Yeah, it already broke. Yeah, it happens, doesn't it? Things break. Things mess up. One of the things that I just, it's like almost like they make things to break these days, don't they? The very first thing, whenever you buy something at Walmart, they say, do you want insurance? I'm like, are you planning on this thing breaking down or what? They make it to break. But you were made to live. You know, physically, we get a little bit older as the years go on, and things get a little bit broke down. But the Spirit of God in us should always thrive so that our best days are always ahead of us, because spiritually, we should never quit growing, and we should always be stronger in him. There's power in the hand of God to repair any person, object, or situation that is beyond repair. I believe that there are three different types of people. About three different types of people. There's those people that don't ever feel that they're ever good enough. It's like, oh, I'm not good enough to, I don't think I can do that. And because of that, their future and the plan that God has for them is stifled because they believe a lie that they're not good enough. Listen to me, God made you, and if God made you, he made you the way you are for a reason and a purpose. I got bald headed when I was 26 years old, and I wasn't married. That's a problem. And I was praying. I said, Lord, how come I'm bald-headed and I haven't got a wife? I don't think I'm ever going to get a pretty wife because I'm bald-headed. Now it's popular. Everybody, like, shaves their head like, isn't that cool? But it wasn't back then. You're supposed to have hair back then. And the Lord said, Randy, don't you like the way I made you? Because I made you that way. Are you saying to me that I didn't do a good job with you? Well, I got convicted because I had allowed something as stupid as being bald-headed to stifle me and think that I wasn't good enough for a beautiful wife. And after I got my thinking right, look who showed up, this gorgeous little blonde-headed, blue-eyed girl from Texas. But I had to get myself right before God could do in me what he wanted to do through me. Some of y'all's thinking needs to change. If you don't like the way God made you, stop it. Just stop thinking like that. Because who you are, when God sees you, he sees you through the eyes of Jesus, and he sees you as being perfect, a perfect creation by him. So stop bad-mouthing God for the way you're made. Amen. Now, I didn't say that in them other two services, so that's for somebody special here today. And y'all take that home with you and live it and believe it and walk in it. The other type of people, I got hung up on that one. The other type of people are the arrogant people. Those who think they know everything, the know-it-all type people. And they are stifled themselves because they have believed the lie that they don't need anybody to tell them what to do. They don't need anybody to tell them how to be. They don't need any help because I've got it all together. And that pride is the biggest sin in the church and out of the church. Pride is the biggest sin in and out of the church. Pride will keep you from your destiny, and it will stifle you of your future. It will keep you from realizing the entire reason that you were created and your being. If you think you know it all, you won't be able to hear from God because there will be a barrier that you have put up yourself that you won't listen to God when he tells you to do something that doesn't sit well with you. But the reason that he tells you that, even if it doesn't sit well with you, is because he loves you and he knows you better than you know yourself. Amen. Submit to him, humble yourself, and pray. He will heal you. And the third person is the person who is humble and teachable. It seems like we feel like we're either not good enough or we think we're too good, but God is looking for people who will be humble people and will be teachable and will put themselves in a position on a daily basis to hear from him and put themselves in a position where they can be taught by God and sometimes through people and allow ourselves to grow in him and to never stop growing spiritually, because that's God's plan for us. God's looking for humble, teachable people. And let me tell you something, it's a rare thing, but we can do it. Amen? Amen. Every irreparable situation in your life, in your marriage, with your kids, with your church, can be repaired by the mighty hand of God when the hand of God comes on us. Every dry bone in our life will come alive when his word gets in us. And when God gives us the word, we can walk in that word, and we walk in confidence because we have God's word in us. Get this written word in you. Let it become a part of you and your DNA. And the written word is called the Rhema word from God, but the written word is called the Logos word of God, and the spoken word is the Rhema word for God. In other words, the Logos word is the word that you read in your Bible. That's the written word. But God will also give you a Rhema word from God, in which for your own specific situation about your relationship with somebody or your business or something, get a Rhema word from God. When God speaks his word into you, it's the greatest gift that you'll ever have in your entire life when you know the word of God and God takes time in his schedule to talk to you, and his desire is to let you know he's not playing keep away from you. He wants you to have all the blessings of his word, but you have to get in that position in order for him to speak to you. You have to stop talking for a little while and be humble and let him speak to you. Be quiet before him. That means turn everything else off. That's a good, that's good preaching. My goal is to increase your faith so you can prophesy to your bones and prophesy to other bones, because the word of God not only wants to speak to you, he wants to speak through you. The hand of God can satisfy unmet and unfulfilled desires and expectations. The hand of God and the word of God can fulfill unmet expectations. The scripture says in Psalm 34, it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Did you know God wants to give you the desires of your heart? The first thing he wants to do is to shape your heart. And he wants to mold your heart. And we talked about clay last week. He wants to mold your heart into something that is humble and teachable. And he wants you to have a heart for him. Have you ever prayed for something and you didn't get it? Raise your hand. It's okay. It's not a trick question. We've all done that. But the Bible says that whenever we don't get what we ask for, that we ask amiss, that we might consume it upon our own flesh. In other words, we ask in a selfish way. We ask for something that is not what God has for us. Did you know, listen to me, did you know that when God says no, it's good for us? Too many times, though, bow up, get mad. I can't believe it. I prayed and I had faith for it. And I can't believe that God didn't do it. Let me tell you something. If God doesn't give it to you, deal with it. It's good for you. All good and perfect things come from God. God wants what's best for you. And sometimes the best for you is when he says no. Anybody ever have a girlfriend and you thought that was all there was, and all of a sudden, and then you look back and you go, oh, thank God he didn't answer that prayer. Gracious. That would have been a mess. Train wreck. See, we don't know, do we? That's why we need him so bad. Oh, help us. Help us. I thank God for the victories that he brings to us when we delight ourselves in the Lord. And then we allow him to shape our desires. He gives us the desires of our heart. I love that. God's been good to us. We've had a lot of victories. Here at the local church, a lot of victories. In years past, we've had a lot of events and a lot of activities. And our vision in the last year or so was to bring back balance through different teachings and activities that produce spiritual growth. Numerical growth will happen with activities and events and giveaways. Did you know that we could grow this church as big as we wanted it to be? If we just give away a lot of stuff and just, you know, I mean, like just like give them foo-foo sermons and just like, come together and sing Kumbaya, my Lord. Stuff like that. Oh, man, this is so cool. It's so cool. Let me tell you something. We're not here to please you. We're not here to be pleased. We are here to please him. After all, it's not our church. This might blow your mind. It's not your church. This is not your church. It's not my church. It's not Dara's church. We don't even own this stuff. This is like if we go south and this whole church would go south, it go back into the kingdom of God, because it's a 501c3 and it'll go back into somebody else that knew how to run church if we went south. So it's not ours. It's not our church. It's his church. So we are not here to get what we want out of church. I hope sooner or later you buy what I'm selling you, because it'll help you a lot. We're not here to get what we want out of church. We're here to get what God wants for us to get out of church. We could grow the church as big as we wanted, but we must go deeper, because what good would it be if we grew a huge church and nobody got to heaven? What good would a profit a man, the scripture says, if we gain the whole world, if we have everything we want, but we lose our soul? It says, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? It doesn't help for us just to preach foo-foo church sermons and have foo-foo church. God wants us to raise up a mighty army of warriors for the kingdom of God, so that when the storms of life hit us, we can go through this. We can run through the troop. We can jump over a wall. We can do what God has called us to do, because we are secure in who we are and in our walk with God and in our eternal destination. Numerical growth will happen, but we must go deeper. We must dig deeper. We must make disciples and leaders for the next generation. We have discipleship school. We have leadership classes that we want not only to help Montgomery County or the state of Texas, we want to send missionaries all over the world for the kingdom of God. We want to be players in the kingdom of God that blesses God with everything that we do. Sometimes we need to not be just consumers, but contributors to the kingdom of God. He hasn't sent us here just, it's all about me. It's really not. It's all about him. Prophesy to the dry bones. Get a word from God. Stewardship. Stewardship of preaching. One of the things, there was a scripture Paul said. He said, some people say, I am of Apollos. I'm of Paul. He said, I'm of Apollos. And what the apostle said, he said, I'm thankful I didn't baptize any of you, because you're putting all your confidence in a man instead of putting all your confidence in God. And so what I want to say, in 2018, we're going to let more people get up here and preach on Sunday mornings to the crowd. And the reason is because there's several reasons. One of the reasons is because we need to reproduce ourselves. Like, I'm not real old, but I'm kind of old. And we need to have other people come up and preach so that they can help their skills. And if you're coming just to hear Randy preach, you're coming for the wrong reason. We come for him. We don't come because, now we get calls at the office. Is Randy going to preach this Sunday? Oh, that irritates me to no end. It doesn't matter who's preaching. I said, it doesn't matter who's preaching. Listen, if somebody gets up here and you're not a fan, that's really good, because it's good for you not to get what you want. It's good for you. We're spoiled people. We got to stop that. Amen? Amen. I'm just telling you. So we're going to spread it out a little bit. The other reason is because preaching four times a week, week in and week out, it's like running a couple of marathons for whoever's preaching. Four Sundays a week, four sermons every Sunday and Monday. It's a big job, and I've got to stay healthy myself. So that might be a selfish reason. I don't think so. I think God loves me enough that he wants me to be healthy too. And so I would appreciate it if you would take on this attitude that we are in the kingdom building business, and it's not about Randy, it's not about Darla, it's not about Jason, it's not about us at all. It's all about him and his kingdom, and let's get in on what he's doing and do it because he wants it done, not because we're getting what we want. Okay? Thank you. In 2017, we had 217 people give their heart to the Lord in this church right here. We had 100, get a hold of this, 104 baptism. How about that? That's really cool. The number of missionaries and organizations we support on a monthly basis is 79, and we gave over $129,000 to missionaries last year. Y'all did that through Jesus. So cool. As a church and a community, we gave over $39,000 toward hurricane relief with Hurricane Harvey. It just blessed people. That resulted in over 14,000 meals served. This place was a zoo. Helped out dozens of misplaced cattle. Helped provide feed for misplaced cattle. We donated thousands to help several church members, which we helped clean out over 57 houses. This our community here cleaned out over 50. If you got in the middle of that, that wasn't fun, but they really, really appreciated it. And we helped several of our church members rebuild their homes. Some of you were blessed by that. The Lone Star Beef, which we fed a lot of the meat from our Lone Star Beef program. Through the gala, we raised over $150,000 to help different ministries. And a lot of times, we've had some of these ministries tell us that if we didn't give them meat, they wouldn't have meat to eat. And we have supplied meat for some of these ministries. All the meat that they've had, it has come from this church for years. And we do that because we see value in feeding people physically so we can feed them spiritually. That's so cool. Gracious. Psalm 41 through 3, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord. Some of y'all been waiting a while on something you asked for. Said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, and set my feet on a rock. He gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise. A hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. One of the things that the Lord's convicted me of in recent months is that we all have problems, don't we? I mean, that's one thing I think we all have in common is that we have problems. One of the things I realized is that we give a lot more reverence many times to our problem and to the people who bring us problems than we do to the one who can solve the problem. My challenge to you this morning is not to allow your problems to run your life, to respond to your issue and your problem, whether your problem is physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, financial, relational. Don't idolize the problem. Bring faith and confidence to the one who has the answer to your problem. Too many times we want to talk about our illness. We want to talk about our financial problems. We want to talk about... We'll get on Facebook and just go, yuck, 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 yuck. Why don't we do this about the one who has the solution to the problem and stop magnifying the problem and bringing reverence to the problem? I want to challenge you today. God has the answer. And because God has the answer, you have the answer. He's not playing keep away from you with the answer to your problem. Because he is a problem solver. Y'all listen to me. Because he is a problem solver, you are a problem solver. He created you in his image so you could solve the problems, because he wants to speak his word into you about your problem. If you have a problem, God has an answer and a solution to your problem. Amen. Let them bones, them dry bones, the bones of bringing reverence to all the issues in our life. Stop that and allow life to come in and get excited about your problem, because you know God's going to solve it. Let faith arise in you and you'll be blessed by it. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, that you are all about life. You are all about liberty, that we can stand in the liberty as you make us free. Give us the freedom, oh God. May we use that freedom as a way to serve you and worship you. Help us to be good stewards of the liberty, the freedom. Give us passion, Lord, for you. In Jesus' name, I'd like for you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. This morning, if you've never invited Christ to come into your heart, the scripture says that we've all sinned, we've all come short of the glory of God. In other words, we've all messed up. But he said if we confess our sin, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But it's a choice and it's a decision that each and every one of us have to make as individuals. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a place of repentance. But we must humble ourselves in the eyes of the Lord. So this morning, if you've never invited him to come into your heart, or maybe if you have, you just haven't been living for him, simply by raising your hand, say, "Preacher, I need Jesus in my heart. I need to make him the Lord of my life." Slip your hand up high so we can, I want to put a Bible in your hand. Yeah, back in the back. Thank you, partner. Anybody else? Slip your hand up high. Yep. Leave your hand up so we can put a Bible on you. Once you get your Bible, you can put your hand down. Thank you. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus in my heart. Yeah, thank you. Anybody else? In Jesus' name. Yep, yeah, thank you. I appreciate it so much. Bless you. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. If you raise your hand, would you look up at me? If you raise your hand, would you mind coming up and let me pray with you? Come on up and let me pray with you. If you raise your hand, come on, partner. Anybody else? Yep, come on. Come on, buddy. Come on, I want to pray with you. There's you, girl. I'm proud of you. Thank you. Thank you. It's a good day. Man, I'm proud of you. Hey, you know what? You're a pretty tough-looking guy. You know, it takes a lot of tough to get up, though.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. It's the best move you ever made in your life. I'm proud of you. Bless you, buddy. I'm proud of you. Thank you. Stay here. Stay here. I want to pray with you. Here's what the Bible says. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God's raised him from the dead, that we'll be alive, that we'll be saved. I want to help you pray with your mouth, but you have to believe in your heart. Can you do that? Let's just pray. Y'all help us. Just repeat after me. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Lord, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. I invite you into my heart. I invite you into my life. From this day forward, I give my life to you. Help me to read my Bible, to pray, show up for church, and get baptized. I love you, Jesus. Teach me to love you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." Now look here. is just the beginning, okay? This is just the start. And I just encourage y'all to keep showing up for church and let God help you to grow, because you'll have the same problems you had when you came in. You'll have the same problems, but he'll help you through the problem. God doesn't dwell in temples made by man's hand, but your body is a temple now of the Holy Spirit. I'm so proud of y'all. Can't tell you. Just want to say welcome, though, to the family of God. Appreciate y'all. You might go and visit with these people for a second. Bless you, buddy.
Okay.
Okay, these guys are going to pray. They'll pray for you in a second. That's why we do that, too. We have our prayer team up here. If you'd like to have prayer, if y'all would stand, please. Thank you, Lord. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. How many say, preacher, I've been a little bit stagnant and kind of dry with my walk with the Lord. And I need to let the Holy Spirit get a hold of me and take me and make me stronger. Amen. All right, let's pray for you. Oh, we lift everybody up, Lord, that's lifted their hand up. I pray, Lord, that you'd help them, Lord. I pray that you bring life, oh God. Lord, to all of us, because at some point in time we do feel a little bit stagnant in our walk with you. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, to follow you closely, to be there, Lord, for you as you are there for us. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here. We thank you for these that have given their heart to you this morning. Pray your blessings upon them. Lord, we just give this day to you. Help us, Lord, to position ourselves, Lord, in your word and through our study time and through our prayer time, where we can prophesy to ourselves, to other people, as you give your word to us. And we thank you for that privilege in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. God bless you. I'm sorry I preached so long. I apologize. I love you. God bless you.